Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, State Senator Ben Kiekhefer, he's the Assistant Minority Leader. Ray Hager and I speak with him, and Susan Fisher, Government Affairs, McDonald Carano Wilson. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program State Senator Ben Kiekhefer. He's the Assistant Minority Leader. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Sam.
Were you surprised at State Senator Aaron Ford's remarks yesterday?
I was. I was a little taken aback on how political he became during the sort of opening ceremonies of the legislative session. That's usually a time that we celebrate our unity rather than our divisions, but look, he's the majority leader, and he gets to set the tone for the entire session, and he certainly did yesterday.
And what are your responses to his plans, increasing minimum wage, for example?
Well, look, we can get into each of the individual proposals that he talked about when there are bills on the table that deal with them. But what I was struck by was a couple of things. First, that he's really taken up the mantle of the Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders branch of the Democratic Party, and he is going to be that voice in this legislative session as a launching pad for a statewide campaign in 18. I think the writing is on the wall, and it's very clear. Second, I was struck by his decision to come right out and say any deal that he cut 2 years ago is no longer good. I thought I had a good negotiating partner last session when I was making deals with him, and evidently I was wrong. So he's going to make it a very difficult place to make a deal this session.
And appears he wants to reverse pretty much everything that was accomplished in the last session.
Right, and he negotiated those, right? He voted for a lot of those. We certainly could have been much more aggressive in some of the reforms that we passed in 2015. We decided not to. We decided to be reasonable. We decided to negotiate with them even though they were in the minority. And he clearly either doesn't remember, doesn't care, or is just not good to his word. And it's a disappointing place to be right now.
Ben, let me go back to a statement you made about Senate Majority Leader Ford. You talked about a statewide campaign in 2018. You think he's gearing up for that? Do you think he's running, would be running for governor, or do you think he'd be running for attorney general?
Well, I'm sure that the powers will help craft that decision, but I think it's clear that he's positioning himself on the left flank of the party, and he's going to use this session to put himself there.
What you know, speaking of the governor's race, so far, it seems like the Republican candidate would be Attorney General Adam Laxalt, where the Democrats might go with Steve Sisolak. I was kind of shocked when maybe this talk about Ford getting into the gubernatorial race. But what do you think? Do you think it looks like a Sisolak versus Laxalt thing as we stand right now?
I think they look like the two front runners with the amount of money that they've raised and those issues. I don't see anyone on the Republican side challenging Adam Laxalt. He's done an excellent job as Attorney General, and he's clearly very strong within the base of the Republican Party in a primary. So that would be perhaps a fool's errand for a Republican to take him on at this point. But on the Democratic side, you know, with the departure of Harry Reid from some of the leadership structure within that party, they made decide to go more free-for-all and take all comers, so we'll see.
Okay, now there was one thing, excuse me, Sam, one other thing I wanted to ask you about is you said that the Ford and his statements really set the tone for things yesterday. What about when you and other Republicans in the Senate put down no ESA or no budget? That certainly seemed to set the tone in a negative way also.
Oh, we certainly outlined our priorities, and that is one of them. We believe that is a policy that was passed by the 2015 legislature. The promises were made to families in this state, and thousands of families have decided that they want to take advantage of that opportunity. The governor has included funding in his budget for that program, and we believe it's a critical part of our education efforts in this state, which include massive investments of hundreds and hundreds of millions of more money into traditional public education, but also an outlet for families who, when those schools do not meet the needs of their children, whether it's a good school or a bad school, not every school is right for every child. And identifying the best opportunity for each individual child should be the right of every family, and we believe that that's a priority.
Did the governor put enough money in your opinion, in the budget?
I'd like to see more go in so that we can fulfill the promise of universality of the program. That's part of the budget process, and we will go through that as the legislation as the session unfolds.
Going back to Aaron Ford, were you surprised at the shot he took at the lieutenant governor? In terms of procedure?
You know, the rules that had been in place previously had also prohibited the lieutenant governor from casting tie-breaking votes. We changed those rules during the last legislative session because we felt that it was important to have rules that were in line with the lieutenant governor's constitutional authority. Our legislative council, our nonpartisan legal staff at the legislature, believes that the lieutenant governor has that right to cast tie-breaking votes on bills and resolutions. That has not been litigated in this state, but in most other states that have similar structures constitutionally, that right has been upheld by the courts. And, in fact, it has been used in this state. In the late 1970s, Lieutenant Governor Bob Rose voted to break a tie and advance the Equal Rights Act, Equal Rights Amendment in the state of Nevada. So there's precedent for it. There's legal opinion to support it. And certainly the legislature cannot pass a rule that undercuts the constitutional authority vested in the lieutenant governor.
Okay, so is this going to end up in the Supreme Court?
Well, I think if we're in a situation where the lieutenant governor is forced to cast a tie-breaking vote, it could be litigated, but that also may not be necessary.
All right, let's take a break. More with State Senator Ben Kiecapper when we return.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Ben Kiecapper. He's the Assistant Minority Leader.
Ben, I scanned the BDR list, and I came across some bill drafts that you're sponsoring. And one of them, well, two of them caught my eye. They're about education. And one, it would revise provisions governing the composition of Board of Trustees for county school districts. What do you have in mind for this?
This bill is going to create a hybrid system to create our school boards, probably in just Washoe and Clark counties, where right now they are all elected members. We've seen significant problems at the school board level, both in Washoe and Clark, in terms of both the integrity of individual elected officials and, more importantly, the faith that the community has in those school boards. And particularly in Washoe County, the lack of faith that the community had in the Washoe County School Board of Trustees put at serious jeopardy and risk the ability to get money approved on the ballot for school construction. So that was a critical need, and thankfully that passed, but it was in real danger because people don't trust the school board to do the right thing with the money. So the bill in question is going to create a hybrid model where you'll have four appointed members of the school board and three elected members of the school board. It's an effort to create sort of a higher level of scrutiny in some ways that will be able to sort of shore up the integrity of the board in the minds of the public.
Who does the appointing?
It's still being drafted. Right now I'm envisioning in Washoe County, the Washoe County Commission, the Reno City Council, the Sparks City Council, and the governor making four appointments.
How does this go about, you know, what do you say to people? Say, well, this lessens the voice of the people if you have four appointed and only three elected.
I'd like to know how many of those people know who their elected member is on the school board.
Okay. You know, another one that you have, another bill draft request, revises provisions relating to the funding of education. This might come out as SB 618. What are you trying to do here, Ben?
I have to go back and look at which bill that is. I don't recall.
Okay,
offhand.
Well, we can move on to.
I've got about 12 BDRs in, and I can't remember. None of them have been introduced yet except for two, so
right,
I have to go
right.
back and look. I apologize.
Okay. You know that the counties and the cities are looking to get some relief from the property tax caps. You're totally against this, correct?
I am. Look, I represent Incline Village, right, the home of the property tax revolt from a decade or so ago. And the property tax caps that have been put in place were voted on for the sole purpose of protecting homeowners from getting taxed out of their property. And I have a lot of constituents who are at risk of that if we see significant increases in property taxes because of the growth in the value of their property that they've experienced due to, you know, economic conditions. So I won't be supporting anything that increases the property taxes on my constituents.
All right, but let me ask you this. You know that it's going to take a generation or more for the cities and counties to get back to where they were as far as property taxes were being collected. Do you see another way for them to gain revenue that is not as onerous as property taxes?
Look, I think that a broad discussion about our property tax structure is probably due. There are plenty of debates to be had over how we do depreciation, how we calculate the fact that we even use depreciation when calculating residential property values, whether properties should reset upon resale and things like that. And there are constitutional issues that we have to deal with when it comes to that. However, you know, we talk about all of the damage that's been done to local governments because of the property tax caps. It also means that more than $1.9 billion has been kept in the pockets of the actual citizens of the state of Nevada. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
But there are needs that the counties and cities have. Is the proposal that you start slashing services?
Well, look, in the 2011 session, at least, and I know in the 13 session, my colleagues and I sponsored legislation to make some changes to how processes like collective bargaining are done at the local government level that would have saved those local governments money over the long term, and they were nowhere to be found to support those bills. So they haven't shown a lot of interest in actually becoming more efficient in how they spend their money. So coming back to the legislature and asking for more right now is probably not the best time.
And looking at Aaron Ford's ideas of project labor agreements, it doesn't look like they're going to be saving any money there either.
Well, look, you know, construction's sort of another side of the equation because a lot of those funds are raised and spent differently than the general operating budgets of governments. But, you know, I believe that particularly in something like construction, the free market of labor and construction costs should rule the day. I, as a steward of taxpayer dollars, don't know why I should have to pay more than absolutely necessary to buy the same product. It just it sort of flies in the face of what I believe my job is and role is in allocating taxpayer funds.
Ben, you were talking about construction. I wanted to ask you about Senate Majority Leader Ford's proposal that if the Raiders do not come to Las Vegas, so the Raider Stadium is not built, he wants to take that money and use it for infrastructure projects in southern Nevada. I'm thinking, wasn't at least $300 million of that tax money supposed to go to a stadium to be built for UNLV? And if that's the case, how can you want to do all these infrastructure improvements too with that tax money?
Well, in the original bill, Ray, there were two tiers of funding. There was the overall room tax increase that would have funded the stadium if it gets built. But if the stadium doesn't get built, then there is a reduced rate that is then imposed and collected in the efforts to build a stadium for UNLV, an open-air college football stadium. I assume, and I have not spoken to Senator Ford about this, that he's talking about utilizing the increment between the UNLV stadium costs and the full rate that would have been imposed for an NFL-ready stadium, and using that as the infrastructure bank. That's an assumption on my part. I haven't talked to him about it. But he's got a lot of work to do, I think, on that proposal, and I'll let him do it. I'm not going to do it for him.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. State Senator Ben Kiecapper, thank you so much for being here. Hope to see you back here at this table before the end of the session.
Anytime.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Susan Fisher. She does government affairs for McDonald Carano Wilson. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Were you surprised at the tone in the Senate yesterday?
I was a little bit surprised. The Assembly side was much warmer and friendlier. Much, much warmer and friendlier. And I thought that it would start out that way on the Senate, and maybe it started in the first couple of minutes that way, but it went south very quickly.
And what was the mood in the room?
People were a little bit surprised. I don't think they were expecting it. So it shifted. It you just could feel the tension in there. It's like, uh-oh, this is day one. We're not supposed to start getting this way for another month or two.
Had you sensed that in the week or so prior?
Well, a little bit. I mean, there had been a lot of comments, and even during the campaign cycle, there had been statements about undoing some of the things that were done last session. So
it seems like almost everything.
Yeah, pretty much everything. So we'll see how much the GOP can hold on to them, and ones where they need a 2/3 vote, then they're going to need to, if the Democrats can't pluck off a vote here or there, then some of the things will stay intact, and then the governor always has his veto stamp.
And that's where the real power is.
Exactly.
You know, Susan, I really wasn't surprised by the rudeness, Because if you remember last session, Roberson came out when he was the Senate Majority Leader. He came out and immediately divided the body. Remember, he put all mm-hmm. the Republicans on the right side and all the Democrats on the left side. And he was kind of rude from the get-go, too, if you were looking at it from a Democrat's point of view. So I really see this as kind of a payback for what happened and about, you know, undoing everything Republicans have done. Well, that's how this place has operated for years when you have a change in the majority.
It is. And, you know, even though I'm a lobbyist, I'm still an outsider when it comes to the inside political drive within those offices, because I'm not that partisan. So it's hard for me to see that. I always want everybody to all get along, but right. It doesn't work that way. And part of it is positioning for the next step as well. It's not just for what they're going to do now. It's what they're going to do in 2 years or in 4 years. So they're laying those bricks
right.
now.
Speaking of 2 years, Senator Kiekhefer made a point to say that Aaron Ford was maybe perhaps positioning himself to run statewide in 2018. What do you think he would run for in 2018?
Oh, I think the field is open for him. A logical step for him would be attorney general. I think that governor, I think he would love to be in the U.S. Senate. So, I'm not going to speak for Senator
right,
Ford,
right.
but I think he's got a lot of options ahead of him. He's
been
degrees. A good leader.
Mm-hmm. And 5 degrees.
Exactly. And education. I mean, look at his degrees in education.
Man, you know what? I'm
sorry. Let me jump in here because okay. we've got a little limit on time here. Renewable energy. It seems like NV Energy has stepped back every time that there's been any kind of dispute. And I'm trying to figure out what is the end game for NV Energy with this whole renewable deal?
Well, I think that with the new ownership, relatively new ownership of NV Energy in the 100-plus year history of the company, it's a new regime. And with other markets where they are, they've embraced renewables. And it's taken a little bit more time for it to tick to the West, but it's coming. And I think that NV Energy also is smart enough to know that the more they push back against something, the more the public is going to push. So they're taking a step back, and it doesn't mean that they're not going to be working the issues. You may not ever see them at the table. They probably will be to some degree, but and they'll have their cadre here as well. But they'll still be very active behind the scenes, and they'll still be very active at the Public Utility Commission, and that's where the rubber hits the road as well.
Okay, were you surprised at the change of mind at the PUC?
Not with the change of the makeup of the PUC, no. I was very pleased to see that. One of our new PUC, the newest PUC member, Ann Palmgrantz, lived through the deregulation of the telco. That's when she came to Nevada, it was to help Sprint through the breakup of the Bell system. And so she understands that. She's lived through it, and she's seen what works and what doesn't work. And I think that was a really tremendous choice by the governor, because it's coming.
It is indeed, and that's where we have to leave it. Please come back many times during the session.
I will.
We'll be right back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
On our next broadcast from Carson City, Assemblyman Paul Anderson, the minority floor leader. We'll see you then.